Good morning.
Good to see you in the house of the Lord on a beautiful day. The Lord has given to us, whether you be here in person or also joining us online. Love is messed up. Not all love. Yet what some people call love is not real love. So what really is love? Who are we to show love to? How can we show a real love? So you guessed it, love is our focal point this morning. Out of love for our great God, I invite your attention to page 3 of our worship bulletin as we continue with the invocation. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever.
This is the day the Lord has made. We worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Let us worship Him.
Thank you. What does God tell us about ourselves in His holy word?
He says that we are sinners and deserve only His punishment.
When we realize that we have sinned against God and deserve His punishment, what should we do?
We will confess before God all our sins, those which we remember, as well as those with which we are unaware. We pray to God for His mercy and forgiveness.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins to God our Father, asking Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness.
Holy and merciful Father, I confess that I am by nature sinful and that I have disobeyed You in my thoughts, words, and actions. I have done what is evil and failed to do what is good. For this I deserve Your punishment, both now and in eternity. But I am truly sorry for my sins, and trusting in my Savior Jesus Christ, I pray, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Jesus says to His people, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. His death paid for the guilt of your sins and the sins of the whole world. Do you believe this?
Yes, I believe.
God, our Heavenly Father, has been merciful to us and has given His only Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Therefore, hear the word of Christ through His called servant. All your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thanks be to God.
In the peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. Let us pray. Almighty God, You sent Your Son to proclaim Your kingdom and to teach with authority. Anoint us with the power of Your Spirit, that we too may bring good news to the afflicted, bind up the brokenhearted, and proclaim liberty to the captive.
Michael, the holy baptism,
you are observing the will of the Lord who instituted baptism, saying in the last chapter of Matthew, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." We learn from the Word of God that since Adam's fall into sin, all people are conceived and born in sin, and so are under the wrath of God and would be lost forever unless delivered by our Lord Jesus Christ. Michael then is also by nature sinful and under the wrath of God. But the Father of all mercy and grace has promised and sent His Son, Jesus Christ, who has borne the sins of the whole world and redeemed and saved little children, no less than others, from sin, death, and everlasting condemnation. Thus, we can never sufficiently thank God enough that in baptism He has given a means whereby He works in little children by His divine grace, turning their hearts to faith, cleansing them from their sins, and receiving them into His family. The simple act of baptism has such wonderful power because the Almighty God works in it through His Word. It is the divine Word which makes baptism the washing of rebirth and renewal of the Holy Spirit, as the Apostle Paul describes it in the Bible book of Titus. For this reason, Christ says in the last chapter of Mark, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." It is good and right, therefore, that we should hear in the sight of God and these witnesses administer this sacrament in the fear of God and with due reverence and sincere devotion. Michael received the sign of the cross on the head and heart, signifying that you have been redeemed by Christ, the crucified and risen Savior. Dear parents, our Lord Jesus Christ, in instituting baptism, not only commanded that children should be baptized, but also that they should be taught to observe everything which He has commanded us. I therefore encourage you to bring up Michael in the way of the Lord, to recognize that it is your solemn and primary responsibility to instruct Michael diligently in the truths of God's saving word, and to this end make faithful use of the assistance offered by the church. It is also your solemn duty to encourage Michael by your own word and example, to use God's word so that Michael may grow in faith, serve God with a Christian life, and remain in His baptismal grace to the end. If this you are willing to do, then answer yes, and I ask God to help me.
Yes, and I ask God to help me. Dear God, parents, you are here to
bear witness to the fact that Michael is being baptized in the name of the triune God, and thereby possesses the saving faith in the one true God, and renounces the devil and his wicked works. It shall be your privilege and responsibility to remind Michael of his baptism, and, as far as possible, to give your counsel and aid that Michael may be brought up in the true knowledge and fear of God, according to the teachings of the Scripture as confessed by our Lutheran Church, and be kept in his baptismal grace unto the end. If you are willing to do this, then answer yes.
Yes.
Michael Vincent Ripley, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given you rebirth by water and the Holy Spirit, and has forgiven you all your sins, protect and preserve you in all your ways, and strengthen you with His grace unto life everlasting. Peace be with you. Amen. And as a symbol of the light of Christ coming into the life of Michael, receive this candle as a reminder of who truly is the light and how He passes that light not only unto you as His parents, thankfully, but also on to Michael, bringing him into his family so that he too can be a light in this world, reflecting the light of Christ. If you'd like to hold that for them. Thank you. Dear members of St. Mark's, Michael has now, by holy baptism, become a member of Christ and of this congregation. In obedience to the will of our Lord, who said, "Feed my lambs," it is our solemn obligation to assist these parents in every way possible in the spiritual training of this child, that he may be brought up to lead a godly life until the day of Jesus Christ. If this you are willing to do, then answer yes, and I ask God to help us.
Yes, I ask God to help us.
We pray. Almighty and merciful God, we thank you for graciously preserving and extending your church, and that you have granted Michael the new birth and holy baptism, and made him a member of your dear Son, our Lord, and an heir of your heavenly kingdom. We pray that you would keep Michael in his baptismal grace, that according to all your good pleasure, he may be faithfully brought up to lead a godly life to the praise and honor of your holy name, and finally, with all your saints, obtain the promised inheritance in heaven through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We now continue with the baptism hymn, Baptized in Water. It's found on page 5 of our worship bulletin. Reading from Holy Scripture on this Sunday after Epiphany for the prophet Isaiah, where he, by inspiration, reminds us that God chastises and disciplines us for our good, to get us and keep us on focus. And the focus is to always be on his mercy. When someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and mutter, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and the testimony of warning. If anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. Distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, they will become enraged and, looking upward, will curse their king and their God. Then they will look toward the earth and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into utter darkness. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. The word of the Lord. Words from Revelation 7. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying,
Amen. Praise the Lord, and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen.
Saying one believes in Jesus is to be backed up with actions that are in line with the words of Jesus. This reminder in a reading from Holy Scripture, 1 John chapter 2. We know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. Whoever says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys his word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. Dear friends, I am not writing you a new command, but an old one, which you have had since the beginning. This old command is the message you have heard. Yet I am writing you a new command. Its truth is seen in him and in you, because the darkness is passing and the true light is already shining. Anyone who claims to be in the light but hates a brother or sister is still in the darkness. Anyone who loves their brother and sister lives in the light, and there is nothing in them to make them stumble. But anyone who hates a brother or sister is in the darkness and walks around in the darkness. They do not know where they are going, because the darkness has blinded them. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the gospel reading. A reading from Holy Scripture, the Gospel of St. Matthew, the 4th chapter. The urgency still remains when it comes to the calling of people to Jesus. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated as we now continue with our hymn of the day. Grace, mercy, and peace remain yours in great abundance. Thanks to God our Father, and this also through our living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we continue our focus on the Scriptures this morning. We turn back to the words of 1 John, where we hear once again, "This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did." This is God's Word, we pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed by that rock and redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, who out of love has called you to love, and he has given you the light to make that love possible, to be seen not only by him, but also by those around us. If you were to be classified as in a light bulb category, which light bulb would you be? Well, an LED is a growing trend, brighter, using less energy, and lasting longer. As you think about that odd question, if you were asked to rate yourself, or ask someone to rate you, as being a 100-watt bulb, or a 75-watt, or 60, or 40, or 25, or 15, which wattage would you choose or be chosen for you? Now again, as you ponder that, ask yourself, have you grown brighter or dimmer over the years? Has more light or less light been coming off of you? Or have you gone from less light to more light coming from you? Now there is a point to this comparison, and it is found in the words of 1 John. We are once again encouraged by our Lord through His inspired Bible writers to give proof of our Jesus connection, to help us continually give the proof of our connection to Jesus. There is an important task, and that is to continually grow in our Bible knowledge, in the Bible that at the heart of it is Jesus. Now give thanks, first of all, that we are in a position to be connected to Jesus, and then also have an opportunity to grow in our connection to Jesus by way of His Word, because it is the Lord God who calls us into this connection. Because again, as we heard earlier, by nature, we are completely dead in sin. We cannot bring ourselves to God. God brings us to Him. And He does it through His means of grace, the gospel in the Word itself, and also the sacrament of holy baptism. What a blessing the means of grace in baptism is. One that may be treated lightly or taken for granted, especially by many Christians who still think for some reason, after reading the Scriptures, they have the right to bring themselves into God and deny original inherited sin, and thus then also deny the power of baptism, thinking it is something they do or they are committing themselves to God, when really baptism is God coming to us, giving us a visible opportunity to see how He works through His Word, to bring even little children conceived and born in sin, even though they are innocent to a degree, and give them new life and light. Why does He do that? Because He loves you. Why He loves you? I don't know. Yes, I do. Because the Bible tells us so. God loves us, thankfully, in spite of us, who we are by nature, and even as Christians, who we sometimes act like. Not like Christ, but more in line with Satan. And so we have to reflect, as the Apostle John moves us to reflect. Are we claiming to walk with Jesus, and yet we really walk in darkness? Is there someone we just can't stand, and so don't even pray for that person? It's understandable from a human point of view how we can get into that point of not getting along with somebody. And it may not be on us, but on that person. But who are we to withhold God's mercy from being shown to that person? Maybe not directly, but Lord, continue to show mercy upon that person with the goal that their heart will be touched by Your Word, and that they will come to see that they were in the wrong, and how I have been in the wrong, and that together, repentant, we come to You acknowledging our sinfulness and cling then to your mercy. God connects us to himself through his means of grace. And he keeps us connected to himself through his means of grace. Again, the gospel in the word itself, and also through the gift of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. It is more than just some earthly food. With it is Christ's body and blood to assure us personally of his forgiveness. And so there is an opportunity to check ourselves. Are we living in unrepentant sin? If not, we are fooling ourselves coming up to that rail to receive his body and blood to be assured of forgiveness when we are not seeking his forgiveness. And so instead of a blessing be poured upon us, really we are bringing God's curse upon us. And so he asks us to examine ourselves before we partake. He knows we're not perfect people, but that's not an excuse. And so he leads us to repent, to confess of our imperfections, of our sins, and to hold on to Jesus, who was and is perfect, and whose perfection has been credited to us. There is so much that goes into the means of grace, the gospel and the word itself, and the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And so there's always an opportunity, as long as we are on this side of heaven, to go from dim to bright in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also then in our showing that knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ with the hope of sharing that knowledge so that they too can come to confess Jesus as their Lord and Savior and then grow in a deeper appreciation of their Lord and Savior. And so not only then is it growing in knowledge of Jesus, but also growing in appreciation of what Jesus has done for us, and not just for you and me, but for the entire world. Just before the words of our text, John was led to write this: "But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins and also for the sins of the whole world." That's who Jesus is and what he has done for us. Why? Because he loves us. Because he loves us, he is willing to sacrifice himself for the sins that we have committed, even knowing that we would continue to commit sins, giving into our sinful nature way too much. But then again, he draws us back not only to the cross, but also to the means of baptism, where we are encouraged and have the ability to drown that old Adam daily by contrition and repentance, acknowledging our sinfulness, confessing it, and not hold on to it, but leave it at the cross where it's been paid for. And then anew, go and live our life for Christ. We can do that because Jesus has brought us at one in our relationship with God the Father. Jesus is the one who has made it possible for us to be connected to God the Father, not just now, but for all eternity. And so let us grow in our Jesus knowledge and also in our appreciation of what Jesus has done for us on the cross and then sealed through the empty tomb. Let us also grow in appreciation of what Jesus has done to show himself to be the Messiah. The whole season of Epiphany emphasizing that Jesus is the one who was promised, who appeared among us and definitely gave proof as he fulfilled the prophet's words. Gave example time and time again that he himself is God as he healed people, as he was compassionate towards sinners. The Lord Jesus continues to show his compassion toward sinners as he draws us back to the Word and what he has done for us. And every time then we open the Scriptures or ponder the Scripture, and especially the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and the cross in the empty tomb, he deepens our appreciation. And that deeper appreciation then has an opportunity to express itself in wanting to hear more of the Lord and also then to live our life for the Lord, to live a life of love that he has called us to live. Because his command for us is real simple. It's one word, love. Not the love of this world, how it defines it, but the love how God defines it. Love him and our neighbor. This love is not burdensome. But it all starts with God, and it becomes evident through the gift of his Son, Jesus Christ. As we grow in this knowledge and appreciation, then we are even more in a position and desire to put this Jesus love into practice, to show we are connected to him. And that's where motive comes in. You know, by nature, we will show love. We're capable of showing love. But again, without faith, it's impossible to please God. We'll show love if someone shows love to me. We'll be kind and compassionate towards people, oftentimes looking for a pat on the back. And so we'll take a selfie and say, hey, did you see me helping this person with their groceries? Do they need to know that? God already knows. Isn't that enough? You know, isn't that really enough? We show our connection to Jesus not by looking to puff ourselves up, but rather to boast about the Lord all the more. What he in love has done for us and what he in love wants us to do for others. When the world has to take a look at itself, it sees that it really does not have the love of God working in them. Though it has the love of God shining on them, but they don't know what that means. And so God puts us in a position to explain what that means. That Jesus died for their sins too, and he wants them to be a part of his family now and for all eternity. And so then we can show our Jesus connection by not only reaching out to people individually and collectively as we carry out our congregation mission offerings and send money so missionaries can be sent across the world, and through our prayers, ask God to bless the mission work opportunities, but also locally. We can show our connection to Jesus by examining our motives and why we collect food for the hungry, why we volunteer at the homeless shelters, why we look out for our neighbor. If it's not out of love for Christ, ask yourself, why not? And if it's not for the love of Christ, ask the Lord to forgive you. And to turn your motive not out of love for self, but of love for Christ. The love of Christ compels us to no longer live for ourselves, but rather for him who died and rose again for us. It's the love of Christ that compels us to forgive as we have been forgiven. His love for us makes the impossible love from our point of view possible. And so the more we grow in our Jesus knowledge and appreciation of what he's done for us and for the world, we are in a position to put that love into practice. That is what is to separate us as Christians from those who are not. Why is it sometimes the world is better at showing love than the family of God? Even though it's not the right kind of love, but it's still love. The church all the more needs to reflect the love of Christ. And stop putting barriers to leading people to Christ. Actions speak louder than words, right? Talk is nice, but talk can be cheap. James reminds us, you say you have faith. Well, by your words and your actions, I really don't see it. And the world has a sense of how Christians are to act. And if Christians are not living according to the commandments, which they have a recollection of, they can smell a fake a mile away. And so we examine our hearts once again. Are we just simply talking Christ, or are we also living Christ? Realizing it's not that how we live that gets us and keeps us with Christ, but it's the Word that does that. But the Word reminds us that we are to give evidence that we are in the light and walking in that light. As John says, if you think you are living the truth and walking in the light, but are not giving proof of that, then you really are deceiving yourself. But thankfully, there's an opportunity to come to or back into the light and then live that light. This is to be a way of life for us. It's not a pick it or choose. It's not like a light switch that we can turn on or off. We're not to be a dimmer switch either, that and around this group of people we'll be bright and around this group of people we're going to be dim. No, we're supposed to be bright all the time, living the light of Jesus. It's always been that way, that expectation from God. It was renewed when Jesus came in flesh. And instead of that have-to mentality, Jesus makes sure that we realize that it's a get-to, want-to opportunity to live the light. So who do you need to reach back to and apologize for not being a light-filled person? Who's on your list to encourage to live and be more light by living a life of love? What acts of compassion and kindness can you put into your week to show that you are connected to Jesus? What's your Bible reading plan for the week to help you grow in Jesus' knowledge and in appreciation of what He has done for you and the world, which then will motivate you all the more to show your connection to Jesus by words and actions of love? Dear friends, the world needs your light and love, which is really the love and light of Jesus in and through you. So keep on keeping on, giving the proof of your connection to Jesus. And this happens as you continue to grow in your knowledge and appreciation of what Jesus has done with you, for you, for your sins and with them. And this happens along with when you keep on consistently putting the love of Jesus into action. God, help us put this love and this light into action. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, our Savior. Amen. We turn to a confession of faith. It's found for us on the top of page 10.
I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. From there, He will come to judge the living and the dead.
What are we meaning to say with these words?
I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, and God the Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary, is my Lord.
He has redeemed us, lost and condemned creatures, purchased and won us from all sins, from death and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with His holy, precious blood, and with His innocent suffering and death.
All this He did, that I should be His own, and live under Him in His kingdom, and serve Him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, just as He has risen from death, and lives and rules eternally.
This is most certainly
true. Please be seated. We pray. Almighty God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we praise You for reconciling us to Yourself through the sufferings and death of Your dear Son. Through Him, we have confidence to enter into Your presence and to bring you our prayers and petitions. Let the love of Christ fill your church, so that it may flourish in all good works.
Help us show love and compassion for all who are in need.
Bestow on the nations of the earth the knowledge of your mercy, that they may turn to you, the only God, and find salvation in you.
Strengthen our faith so that we unfailingly come to you in prayer for all our bodily needs.
Give a special measure of your power to those who are sorrowful or mourning, to those who are in pain or sickness, to those who may be in temptation or peril, that they may receive your blessed aid.
And help us patiently endure any chastening and afflictions you permit to come into our lives, knowing that you are using them in love to prepare us for that joyful communion with you, which is ours for all eternity.
Lord, as your prospering hand has blessed, may we give you of our best, and by deeds of kindly love for your mercies grateful prove, singing thus through all our days praise to you, immortal praise. For those able to celebrate another year of grace here on earth, we thank you. You have watched over them through life to this point, and we trust you will continue to have them be a blessing to us and we to them. Thank you for blessing the marriages being celebrated in our midst. As you have forgiven us, may our husbands and wives be forgiving of one another, as we strive to live our lives as reflections of you. Lord, thank you for safely taking home to heaven our dear sister in faith, Elaine Nisterchuk. By your grace, she fought the good fight and has finished the race. Encourage all who mourn for her, lifting them up and us with your love and peace. Thank you for watching over Lynn Clark and baby as Avery and Lynn were blessed with the birth of a baby girl. Continue to provide for them and bless the example Avery and Lynn set for their child as she grows up. Now hear us, Lord, as we bring you our private petitions. Accept our prayers and intercessions, and provide for all our needs, not because we are worthy, but for the sake of Jesus our Savior.
Amen.
And we also pray,
Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart, that being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may hold firmly to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with favor and give you peace. What a powerful prayer to contemplate each day as we seek not to be influenced by the world, but rather to influence the world with the light and love of Jesus. Reflection questions for today's worship service are found on page 13 of the worship bulletin. Connect cards, thank you again for filling those out and putting them either on the boxes on the walls as you enter the church sanctuary or in the basket there on the table in the lobby with the lamp on it. Appreciate that. And do make the opportunity to meet and greet one another, especially our guests with us today. Bible study, we're looking at Ecclesiastes here, and fits in well with what we're talking about in the readings for today. God is good at bringing it all together. Again, as we realize our life is not meaningless, but does indeed have meaning and purpose, thanks to Jesus. The chili cook-off is taking place after the late service, so if you're planning to come back, great. If not, consider that. Everyone will get an opportunity to sample the chili. There's a variety of chilies that have been made, and there's cornbread, and again, some of the people have been selected as judges. We can't tell you who they are, so you don't bribe them. We do have a congregation meeting next week after the late service. It's our annual meeting just to review again blessings and challenges from 2022, things that got completed and we didn't get a chance to complete, and then opportunities coming up in 2023. I direct you to the weekly news for other things that are going on here at church and school. Have a great day in the Lord. Thank you.
close.